You're listening to the Patriot Nation Podcast.
Right, welcome into another edition of the Patriot Nation Podcast, of course brought to you by Prize Picks, the official daily fantasy sports app of CLNS Media. Download the app and put in the code CLNS and get a first deposit match up to $100. So that's Prize Picks, and download that app now. It's your boy Pat Lane here with my guy Matt St. Jean. It's the final mock draft Monday of the pre-draft whole thing, dude. It's been a long time, and right now we're both pissed because the friggin' Bruins blew it at home against the flippin' Maple Leafs. It's a brutal game.
What's frustrating about that game tonight is that this is the third year in a row where we've had a playoff series where it's like you got defensemen that can't get the puck out of their own zone, and that is just absolutely killing you despite everything else. Like that just bogs down the entire thing. It's like having a football game where every single possession you're starting at like your own 15-yard line.
Yeah.
Like that's what this felt like.
And look, Charlie Foxtrot mentions, I know, and I'm just referring the Bruins game. And listen, I get it. The Charlie Coyle play certainly was questionable. I know he did punch him back in the face, but it was certainly questionable. But either way, I mean, at that point, yeah, sure, they could have been up 5-on-3, but like they had a 5-on-4 power play and were just cycling the puck in their own end. Like they couldn't even get the puck on net. And so, it was bad. It was just bad all around.
And there was a lot of, you know, it's just passes that they couldn't connect on, you know, passes that aren't quite tape to tape, bouncing pucks that they can't corral. Right. Where a lot of the bounces don't go your way. You get out physicaled by a team that, you know, you should be more physical than. They beat up Toronto in game one. There's no excuse to get beat up by these guys. It should be the more physical team, but having Peak out definitely hurts that. And, you know, it's playoff hockey. I think the officiating had some real errors in it, but if you're waiting on the officiating to bail you out in the playoffs, you're going to be out in the first round. So
that's correct.
Got to find a way to perform anyway. And, you know, we're talking about an official's mistake away from having a slightly better power play, away from maybe tying the game to have a chance to win in overtime. Like, you just got to play better.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And listen, the Maple Leafs have not beaten the Bruins in a series since before the Patriots existed. And so it just, you absolutely cannot lose a series to these flipping guys. And I'll tell you, Austin Matthews is incredible. Austin Matthews might be the best player on the ice. He might be the best player on the ice at all times, because I think he might be better than Pastrnak because he's bigger and a little bit more physical.
He is better, and that's not a chirp of Pastrnak.
And so, you know, with him and Tavares, like they have some real talent on that team now. And so you don't want to mess around with that team. Yeah. You got to, you know, you get your foot on the throat, you got to put them away. And they had a lead, and they played terrible in the second, lost the lead, and then lost the game.
Yeah. Well, and then it's, I don't know, it's Toronto's goaltending is not good. Boston's goaltending is much better. And in a series like this, you just want to, like, get zone times. You can just throw pucks on net. Like, you know, Toronto is going to have to outshoot you and get more quality chances just to play even because of that goaltending differential. And just, you know, if Toronto's going to steal a game because they're goaltending, make them earn that.
Right.
Just keep throwing pucks on net. Get guys in front. They didn't do that tonight.
I think at one point it was like the high, I think they called like high danger chances, I think is what they called it on Nesson.
High danger chances.
And it was like 9-3 Toronto. You can't have that. Cannot have that. So, but, you know, what are you going to do? All right. Anyways, on to the Reds. Jesus Christ.
Not the Red Sox.
No, God, no. On to the Patriots.
The Red Sox have a better record than the Dodgers right now, right? Which I'm assuming is almost entirely because of who those teams have played.
Yes, because I'm pretty sure the Red Sox – oh, they're 13-10. Look at that. In third place.
Somehow.
In the AL East. Look at that. It's pretty nice. They just swept the team they just played, right? Did they not?
Yeah. And they're only down their number one starting pitcher, number three starting pitcher, number five starting pitcher, and all of their infielders.
Yeah, they're a mess. They're a mess. So, but
they weren't that good, and they're way more injured than any team ever should be. And yet they're still kind of hanging in there. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. So you never know. What the heck, right? Maybe they'll have something to play for. Maybe there'll be something to watch during the summer. You know, at least they could be an interesting team. We'll see.
Bridge the gap from whenever Celtics and Bruins season ends to when training camp begins.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's what I need.
So, all right. So let's get into this. Of course, Thursday is the draft. We're here. It's finally draft week. 3 days from today, we will know what the Patriots have done in the first round. It's kind of exciting. Well, maybe not, depending on if they trade back. But we'll know what they've done in pick three, at least. So that mystery will be solved.
Yeah, and they, even if they trade back, they probably still should have picked by now, unless they're doing multiple trade backs.
Right. Yeah, at least one of those guys. So, so let's get into. Do you want to do my mock first, and then talk about some final things? So we'll do my mock. This is my fifth mock, and so. What I do, and Matt and I have both talked about this, and I think Matt kind of broke this on the last one that he did, but I did not. I drafted a different player in every spot in every draft the entire offseason. And so I have six different drafts. I did a mid-season mock where I just did three rounds. So I did a three-round mid-season mock, and then I also did a three-round mid-season mock, and then I've done five during the offseason. And so I drafted a different player in every one of them. This is the only draft where I had them stay at three. I had them actually move up to one and take Caleb Williams in my first mock draft. And then I had them move back in my last three before this one, and I had them stay in at three. And I had him staying at three and taking Drake May. And so, look, we can get into exactly, you know, why it's Drake May. And obviously, in this case, Jaden Daniels went number two. And I feel like Jaden Daniels is probably going to go number two. And I think that across the league, that Jaden Daniels is considered the number two prospect, I think, for most people across the league. And again, I don't know if that's true, if that's correct or not. I don't know. But I really like the ceiling that Drake May has. I think his athletic abilities are incredible. I think the way he throws the ball is outrageous. His arm is ridiculous. And I think that he provides the kind of upside that you want in the number three pick. With that being said, he's far from a finished product. He's not going to start right away. He can't start right away, in my opinion, I don't think. And so the Patriots need to be patient with him, but I think that's okay. Be patient with him. You have a veteran quarterback that can give you at least some stable play. You're not making the playoffs this year or like competing for the division or anything like that. But, you know, you have a guy that can give you something. Let him give you something. And let Drake May learn underneath him and then start maybe at the end of the year. Maybe he waits all year and starts next year. You know, but either way, I think that, you know, that the pick makes a ton of sense.
I'm a little bit more optimistic than you on what I think Drake May can do in year one. I wouldn't have an issue with him starting from the jump. I think he's, I don't know if he'll necessarily be a great player from day one, but I think he's good enough that he can play through his mistakes. I think a lot of this is also, you know, judging the guy, talking to him in the interviews, talking to his coaches, people around him, getting a feel for him once they bring guy into the building, too, of what you want to do. Because everybody learns in different ways. People grow in different ways. And I think there's a couple different ways to approach that. I will say, you know, if you're drafting, you know, obviously somehow Caleb Williams falls to three, or if it's Drake May, or if it's J.J. McCarthy, I think you're going to entertain the option of not starting them day one. If it's Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, Spencer Rattler, any guys like that. Rattler, Nix, Penix a little bit later, I think might be different. But a guy like Jaden Daniels, at his age, with his experience, I think you're starting him from day one. And that's one of the differences between these types of products, these projects, and their age.
Right. That's a good point. That's a good point. So, all right. So that's what I had at number three, and we'll see what happens. But, and Nelson, you're 100% right that, that Patriots fans need the patience more than the Patriots do. And here's what I'll say. So Brian Hammond just mentions that all draft simulators have May ahead of Daniels. And that's fine that the draft simulators have that. I will say that all the chatter, right? Adam Schefter was on with Pat McAfee today, and he said the Patriots are entertaining offers at three. I don't know if they're going to take one or not, but he said, you know, that's assuming that Jaden Daniels goes number two and Drake May is number three. He said if Drake May goes number two and Jaden Daniels is available at number three, the cost for three is going to go up significantly. His words, not mine. Right. And so I think that the league is a little bit higher on Jaden Daniels than they are on Drake May. Now, that doesn't mean that that's the correct take. That doesn't mean it's the correct information. I don't know how the Patriots feel about it. As a matter of fact, if I had to guess, I think that they're split. I think that, you know, everyone in the league is split on this, that there are some people that prefer Drake May and there are some people that prefer Jaden Daniels, just like Patriots Twitter is crazy about this, right? It's like some people like Jaden Daniels is great and Drake May is fine, and some people go back and forth with it. And so I think the Patriots are kind of in a similar situation. And so the simulators can have whatever they want. I think Daniels is the guy that, you know, is preferred around the league. Now, what I will also say is that this could be a situation like last year where a lot of people said, well, last year they had CJ Stroud ranked number one. And then once it became obvious that Bryce Young was going number one, people said, well, you know what? Okay, we'll put Bryce Young number one instead of CJ Stroud. And so it could be a little bit of that bias where you hear that Washington is probably going to be taking him at two. And so he gets elevated a little bit, but I'm not sure. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, I think there's some overlap here between what's happening this year and what happened in 2021. Like, nobody really thought Zach Wilson was the second best prospect, but the Jets did. So that moves him up on everybody's board. I'm not saying that to say that Jaden Daniels is Zach Wilson, but I think pretty consistently most evaluators have had May over Daniels. It's probably like a 60-40 split or a 70-30 split, but May over Daniels has been the popular thing. I think that's what the consensus boards have right now. From all outside opinions, Washington views it the other way around. So when you have a simulator that's based on the consensus board, it's going to have May going number two. But when you have the intel, it's going to be right now, it looks like Daniels going there. And I will say, if Daniels goes number two, I don't think the Patriots have a bad option, generally speaking, on the table at three.
Right.
Because I think May is a high-tier quarterback. If there's a world where they like J.J. McCarthy over Drake May, that's a bold choice. But if they're doing it, you know, I prefer at least it's a young guy. And also you have the trade option. And I think any of those three I can talk myself into.
Right. Yeah. That's a really good point. So we'll see. Yeah. All right. And then so here's what I had. Right. And my dad texted me about this because my dad has mentioned on the show before. Well, he hasn't mentioned it, but I've mentioned that he mentioned to me on the show that he wants to move back into the first round. And he had talked about trading 68 and a first rounder next year. And I think Bertrand or someone had mentioned, I believe on EEI doing that same thing. And you know, giving up a first round pick next year, I think is a mistake. Only for the reason that if the Patriots aren't good again, which they might not be, you might be looking at, you know, a situation where the Patriots are, you know, drafting top 10 again, and you've traded a first round pick next year. So I'm not on board with that. I am, however, on board with what I did here, which is I traded 34 and I traded a second round pick next year. Now, again, still a lot to give up. Okay. But hear me out. Here's why. Okay, if you look at the draft order, right? If you look at the NFL draft order, and here's the big thing about the draft order, right? What you have to consider about this is that the Vikings have picked 23. they're not moving 23. They traded for it, right? And maybe they've made a trade and maybe they haven't to move up or something like that, but highly unlikely you're going to get 23. 24 is Dallas. I assume Dallas is going to want to take a tackle at 24, you would think, especially if a good one is there. 25 is Green Bay. So again, they might take a tackle. David Bakhtiari, you know, left this year. Tampa's probably not going to take a tackle. You know, and so, but anyways, so the idea was I needed to get ahead of Dallas, and I didn't think 23 was a possibility. So I had to go all the way from 34 to 22. That's a big jump. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, if you're going up 12 spots, give up 34, give up a second round pick next year. And that's what I did. And so I moved up and I took Troy Fontenot from Washington, left tackle. He is strong as a bull. He's got great athletic ability. Man, some of his blocks in space are just sick. Just sick.
He's super smooth.
Yeah. And so I don't know if he'll be there at 22. I really don't know if he'll be there at 22, but he might be. And if he is, I think then that's a situation where the Patriots move up. And I think that this makes sense if one of those guys starts dropping, whether it's Olufoshanu, whether it's Fontenot. And again, the problem with the other guys is that there are some really good tackles, but those guys are mostly right tackles. Even Amarius Mims played right tackle in college. So, like, you know, those guys are projections, but it's like they're going to have to change positions. Where it's like Fashanu and Fontenot played left tackle. They're left tackles, right? And so, you know, that to me is more beneficial for the Patriots because that's what they need is left tackle. So anyways, I had them moving up to 22 to take Fontenot. And I like the idea of it because, again, and I know people say wide receiver, and I get it. I want a wide receiver too, but you have a big hole at left tackle. And right now, I don't know how you feel about Chuck Secor for as your starting left tackle. I don't feel great about it, you know? And so I want a guy that can be that dominant player. And I think Fontenot has a chance to be that guy.
Well, I like moving up this trade that you did in general. I think regardless of who it is, I like the idea of if you take Drake May and you feel like you have a quarterback, if there's a tackle or a wide receiver or it's some crazy world where it's Brock Bowers who ends up falling and there's somebody in the 20s who you like, who you think can be either someone that can protect your quarterback that you take or somebody that can be a big name target for him. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of moving up to go get somebody like that. I'm not always the biggest fan of trading up in drafts. I think it can be incredibly risky, but this is one of those situations where I think it makes sense if it's, you know, somebody who's a fit. And like, I don't know if there's a receiver I would do it for. Brian Thomas Jr. Maybe. I wouldn't do it for A.D. Mitchell. I would obviously do it for any of the top three if they fall.
Of course. Right.
That's I'm really considering. And
yeah.
And tackle to me is such a weird positional group in this draft because I like so many players. And usually for tackle, it's hard to find guys outside of the first round. And this is one of the first drafts in a while where I feel like you can get a really solid starter in round two or three. So maybe trading up for a tackle wasn't the best move, but it's also, you know, the guys who I'm talking about as solid starters are not necessarily left tackles.
That's the biggest issue I have. I mean, even like Fuaga, who a lot of people are super high on, he's a right tackle. And so like, he's a really good player. But he doesn't fit the needs that the Patriots have, right? J.C. Latham mostly played right tackle, played left tackle a bit. But I think mostly played right tackle. Jordan Morgan is a right tackle. Tyler Guyton is a right tackle. Like, that's the issue that I have is like, you know, and Amagaji is the guy that, you know, everyone kind of – Amagaji and
Suamataia.
Thank you, Suamataia. Yeah. I'm like, Matt said it a million times. I got this, yeah. And then I didn't have it. I think
shout those two guys beast for having pronunciation guides in it.
Love it. Absolutely love it. But I think those two guys are guys that fit into that spot, right? Where it makes a lot of sense. And Kingsley's a guy that almost everyone has had mocked to them at some point. You know, yeah.
When I think Suamataia is interesting because he was left tackle last year, but he was a right tackle the year before. And some would argue he was better at right tackle as a run blocker. He looks a lot more comfortable on the right side. Jordan Morgan, I think Jordan Morgan played left tackle.
You know what? Morgan did play left tackle. I'm sorry.
But the issue with Morgan is he might play left guard in the NFL. He's got shorter arms and might not necessarily be the kind of guy that you want. Patrick Paul is another interesting name in here. He's a true left tackle. Super experienced, super solid. Probably never going to be like a top eight left tackle in the NFL. I think you feel good about the odds of him landing somewhere as a mid-tier left tackle starter.
Yeah.
And there's been noise on him, everything from end of round one to end of round three. And that's how it is for all of these guys. Like Suamataia, some guys hate him, some guys love him. Jordan Morgan is going to be about scheme fit. Tyler Guyton is going to be about scheme fit. Amarius Mims is all going to be about, the huge number of question marks in his profile. So you put it all together, and it's just like you got a lot of guys who might be asked to change positions at the next level, guys who are scheme-specific, guys who are different ages. And because of that, don't be surprised if one of these tackles we're talking about lasts until the third round. Don't be surprised if a guy we're talking about as a third rounder goes at pick, 37. That tackle you're hoping the Patriots get at 68 goes at 37, and you're like Blake Fisher. This guy's a right tackle who I think can kick to the left side, who's developmental. Where was he going to go? Nobody really knows.
Right. Yeah, no, Fisher's a good one because he played left tackle, got hurt, lost his spot to Joe Wall, and then bounced over to the right. So he went to college as a left tackle. Could he play left tackle in the NFL? We don't know, right? And so that's the question that we have. And, of course, Joe Walt's the number one tackle in the class. And so it's like, well, yeah, he wasn't playing left tackle because Joe Walt was better than him at left tackle. But that doesn't mean he's still not – he still
that's
couldn't
That's not really a criticism.
right. And so that's, that situation. So anyways, all right. So I move up there. I don't have a pick all the way to 68. Then I traded 68. I said, I'm trading 68. Let's move down a little bit. The wide receiver situation – in the third round is not ideal. By the way, I only moved down nine spots, picked up an extra fifth rounder, moved down nine spots with Vegas. I took Jermaine Burton. I had taken Javon Baker in a previous draft, and so I know that's a guy that people really like in the third round. But I decided on Burton because he's a guy that shouldn't be available in the third round. I don't even know if he's going to be on the Patriots draft board, if we're being completely honest. I think, the word is that the staffs in Georgia and Alabama both hated him, right? And so, he left a bad taste in both their mouths. He just doesn't seem like a hard worker. He doesn't kind of – and so that's an issue. He's a talented, talented receiver. And so at a certain point, either a team is going to bet on that they'll find that talented receiver in there somewhere, or a team is going to look at it and say, at this point, it's worth taking the flyer because the guys around him are not guys that can do it, right? And so I think that it's the balance of of where should he go? Look, 77 might be too high, but that's where I had him.
Well, I think what's interesting about this. Is that, you go back 2 years and they just passed on George Pickens for character issues. Jermaine Burton, I don't think he has different character issues.
Yes.
Just immaturity in the locker room, but I think it's a slightly different type of person. Also, worse production. He wasn't George Pickens was a borderline first round quality talent who got dinged for character stuff. Jermaine Burton is a second or third round talent who's getting dinged for that stuff. And his production also fell because Jalen Milroe was a work-in-progress quarterback, a guy who got a lot better throughout the year for Alabama, but for much of the year was really rough around the edges. I like this bet. I don't know if he's going to be on the draft board. That's the only thing, because clearly Pickens wasn't. So will Burton be? And do they – it's a different player. It's a different year. It's a different person calling the shots. And – we've seen how 2022 went. Have they made changes? Do they want to go a different way with this? Or are they still character first? And I don't think there's necessarily a wrong answer to that. It's more so how much risk are you willing to take in your approach?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of where I was at with it. And the other thing for me is that I feel like with Kendrick Bourne there, you have a strong vocal leader in the wide receiver room already that mm-hmm. can kind of help bring guys along. It seems like everyone's following Kendrick Bourne now. And that's where I looked at it and said, okay, I like that idea. So by the way, Nelson's asking about, Brendan Rice, and he's almost the guy I took at 70s. I almost did it. And then I was like, nah, I pivoted off it. And I probably should have, looking back, probably would have been a better pick than Burton, but I went with Burton. So, Cam Hart in the fourth round. I'm going to kind of go through these. We've talked about Cam Hart on here before. Physical, big, long corner, an outside guy. People have concerns about his quickness and his speed, but I think you saw it at the Senior Bowl that he could stick with guys pretty well. And so, you know, he's not going to lock people up necessarily, but he locked up Tez Walker a few times, you know, in Senior Bowl reps. Yeah. So,
I'm going to be honest, going through Tez Walker's tape, I'm not 100% sure how much of an accomplishment that is.
I suppose.
But, you know, that's the thing. He's big, he's long. He can shut down guys who are just big and long on the outside. And as a corner two in this league, who's also a team captain, loved in the locker room, that's valuable. It's a scheme piece near secondary. Like, that's valuable.
Yep. And Matt's right. A consensus pulpa guy, I think, is Cam Hart.
Yes.
And then I'm just going to blow through these last few guys. McCormick from South Dakota State. If you haven't watched Mike McCormick from South Dakota State, do yourself a favor. Search it up on YouTube or search it up on Twitter. This guy just levels people. He is like a throwback. He's got the huge like neck roll in the back. He is so much fun to watch. Mike McCormick from South Dakota State. Just an absolute blast, dude. Oh, did I say Mike? Sorry, Mason McCormick. My apologies. My apologies. I wrote Mike McCormick here because I'm an idiot. It is Mason McCormick. I wrote it correctly in the draft, but I wrote Mike here for some reason. Jalix Hunt from Houston Baptist, who, again, we've talked about, a guy that made the transition from safety all the way to outside linebacker, can play a little bit on the edge, obviously has some concerns against the run, but, you know, is a guy that can get after the passer. I like him a lot. Tanner McLaughlin, tight end from Arizona, who, again, you know, missed a ton of time this year because of injuries. He's a big dude, runs pretty well. Yeah, take a shot in the, you know, sixth round on him. Bub Means, who we've mentioned a million times on here before, big guy, physical wide receiver. Again, another consensus pulpit guy. And then I ended with Rasheen Ali at Marshall. Rasheen Ali is an interesting dude. He probably would be a lot higher if he wasn't injured literally all the time. He's injured all the time. Matter of fact, he went to the Senior Bowl, Shrine Bowl, I forget, and got hurt again. And so, you know, ended up not running at the combine. So, you know, it's just a matter of that kid staying healthy. You're taking a shot really in the seventh round just to kind of say, hey, you know, just take a look at this guy and see what we can do. And so, you know, we'll see. But yeah, that's it. Yep. Listen, honestly, Burley, that's exactly what I said. A tight end that played at Arizona with injury history. Like, hey, I mean, you never know. Like last time, yeah. You know?
He's old, which is a little concerning, but yes. He's a good athlete. Yeah. Which Patriots did add a tight end today, by the way.
Signed they did.
Some former Bengals guys, depth tight end.
The best thing that dude has done. Did you see the video that Keegan posted?
No, I only saw what Taylor Kyle.
He did his gauntlet drill. He posted the gauntlet drill from the combine. And so he ran the gauntlet drill, caught the first pass, and then started running and looked to his left, although the first pass came from the right, and it just drilled him in the side of the head. Like, absolutely drilled him in the side of the head.
I didn't realize that was him.
Yeah.
No, that's, I remember that. That was hilarious. No, I like this mock. It's a good, like, he hit all the points. Get guys at every position. I'm glad you took Burton over Brendan Rice. I'm just not that big a fan of Rice. What I will say is this, that USC coaching staff, I think, did a terrible job last year when you get into the film. So it's possible there's some untapped potential in Rice.
Right.
But like there's that one little voice inside of me that's saying, oh, he could be, you know, this year's Nico Collins.
Right.
And then you watch him and it's like, I just don't think he's that athlete. Like, I don't think he has that in him. And if he doesn't, then he's just another mediocre guy outside the numbers who is an okay ball winner and an okay separator. And like, at that point, we're talking about what, like a 2015 Brandon LaFell on the outside as your ceiling. Like, I don't want to hate on Brandon Rice too much.
Fine.
Because like, it's, and you can obviously push past that if, you know, you're a better athlete than you show on tape, or if you really grow and develop and push that technique. But I will say, something tells me that Brendan Rice, of all people, has gotten a lot of work on his technique from a very young age.
And you would think.
May have already maxed some of that stuff out. You never know. The pedigree is nice. But I like Burton there because I think he's a lot better than his production showed. I think he got dinged a lot for the offense he played in, the quarterback he played with.
Yeah, I agree. So we'll see. We shall see. But anyways, that's the mock. You can find it on Pat's Pulpit. That was my final one, obviously, of the off season, and it's been fun. I love doing it. Last year I think is when I had the idea to like draft a different guy in every draft. And again, the reason why is because there's so many players in the draft, and you know, in the first few rounds, you can only draft so many guys, but in the fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh round, you're just taking flyers on guys. And some guys, people are like, wait, who is that? And so they're guys that, you know, I would have never heard about until I kind of went deep looking for guys. And, you know, I think of like Hayden Hatton and Hunter Norzad and Jalen Green and Aneem Dakwa and like Casey Washington and like Khalid Duke. Like, these are dudes that I would have never, ever like looked up, right? And yet here I am and I'm like, oh, when that guy gets drafted, I'm like, that guy's a stud. Like, I like that guy. And of course, like, they're all projections because it's late in the draft, but you start to like some of these later round guys. And that's one of those things where it's like, okay, you know, I think it's worth it for me. It's worth it because it forces me to do a little bit more homework, but it's worth it for the readers as well, because you can go through and you can see now film on some guy and you're like, oh, he posted a clip about that guy. That guy looks interesting. Let's go search up this guy. And now all of a sudden you're like, ooh, Aneem Dakwa. That dude's like 6'8", 375 pounds. That's really cool. Like, you know, like maybe he's good. Who knows, you know? And so, you know, so anyway, so that's kind of the theory behind it, you know? So.
Yeah. I know we're going to do fan mocks. I know we got to take a break. We want to talk about the Diana Rossini tweet earlier?
Yes. Let's take a break first. We'll come back. We'll talk about Diana Rossini. We'll talk about what we think the Patriots are going to do at three. Yeah. What we think. Okay. What we think they should do and what we think they will do. Yeah. Right. So two different things, maybe two different things, maybe the same thing. I don't know. Before we take the break, and I'm going to mention this a few more times, but take a look at this. Take a look at this right here. This is a sweet – look at how clean that is, dude. I love the nice. I'm a big fan of the Forever New England patch. Like, how sick is that, dude?
And having all the state outlines with the,
Pat Patriot on it is dope. So this is the official Patriots draft hat. We are going to be giving this away on the live stream on Thursday night. Now, we're going to be streaming from probably 7-ish. May not be exactly 7, but 7-ish, between 7 and 7:30, all the way until the very, very, very end of the first round. And that's probably going to be around midnight. We're going to go all night long. We're going to have a ton of guests on. And we're going to be we're going to be raffling off that hat. All you have to do is be subscribed to our YouTube channel and comment on – just literally make a comment. Like, a bunch of people are in the chat right now. Make a comment in the chat. You'll get entered into a raffle. We'll draw it probably halfway through the show. And then we'll get that hat to you. We did the same thing last year. But here's the thing. If you're watching on the CLNS YouTube, we're not going to be on the CLNS YouTube. We're going to be on our YouTube only, the Pat's Nation Network YouTube. So you got to go to Pat's Nation Network and subscribe there. Also, if you comment on Twitter or X or whatever the hell it's called, If you comment on Twitter, we'll also be there too. And so you can comment there. That will count as well, okay, if you do that. But yes, so go to Pat's Nation Network. We're actually streaming from there right now as well. So you'll see this video pop up. When you go there, subscribe there, and we're going to be live all night Thursday night. We're going to have a ton of guests come through. A bunch of people. We got Murph coming on. We got Brianna Peary coming on. Fitzy told me he's going to stop by. Mike DeBate is going to stop by. Taylor Kyle is going to try to stop by if he can. We have a bunch of non-Patriots guys coming on. We got some Bills guys coming on. We got a Jets guy coming on. We got a Bucks guy coming on. We got a whole bunch of people coming on. So it's going to be a ton of fun. Okay, it's going to be a ton of fun. And Matt. Yeah, you said you got rehearsal Thursday night. It'll be late. Hey, man, we'll be here. We're gonna be here until the bitter end.
It's gonna be like a 5-hour live stream Thursday night.
It's gonna be a long stream. So last year,
there's a non-zero chance you're gonna see meat and dinner in the middle of it. Like
that's correct. Yeah, it's certainly possible. It's certainly possible. Yeah. So that's gonna be a ton of fun. I think it's like the fourth year in a row that I've done it. I know we did it in 2021. That might have been the first year we did it. And there's a great clip of I think it's me, Taylor, Mark Schofield, and Ryan. What the hell is that? And Ryan from Pat's Pulpit. No. For God's sakes, I can't even remember. Wow, what the hell? This is I just totally brain farted. But nevertheless, Ryan was a host on Pat's Pulpit for a while, and he's on it with us too. He was on it with us too, and we were flipping out that the Bears traded up to 11 to take or to 10 to take Justin Fields and not the Patriots. And we're all pissed because we wanted Fields. And then they drafted Mac and we're like, oh my God. And Taylor was like, I'm going to be sick. And it was rough. And we turns out, by the way, we were right. But, you know, nevertheless, it was not Ryan Reynolds, Brian. It was. Ryan Reynolds. But
maybe we can get on this. If anybody knows Ryan Reynolds, would like to suggest that he come on the show Thursday night, please reach out.
Hey, listen. He's pushing a movie. I mean, we could, you know, I'd be happy to give him some airtime and talk about his movie if he wants. So, you know,
He can give us his takes on who the Patriots should pick at number three.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. See, so, all right, let's get into a break and then we'll talk about it. I'll mention that again later on. Okay. But again, Pat's Nation Network on YouTube, subscribe there, watch the show on Thursday night. Comment and you'll be entered. You'll be automatically, you don't have to pay anything, nothing. It's free. Okay. So comment on there. You'll be entered in the drawing and someone's going to win that sweet snapback. And by the way, my dad is not allowed to enter because he won the last raffle that we did. I hosted a comedy show last weekend and he won two flipping prizes there. He's not getting an entry. Okay. It's not happening. All right. So just so everyone knows up front, he's not getting entered. Even if he comments or texts me, he can text me a million times on Thursday. It doesn't matter. He's not getting entered in. So just so everyone knows. But anyways, so all right, let's get to a break and then we'll come back. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball, baseball, and hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. You can pick LeBron, Aaron Judge, Connor McDavid, and Jude Bellingham all in the same entry. Prize Picks even offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, Prize Picks will have your back and not count that as a loss. Now this week, I'm actually going with Aaron Judge, Rafael Devers, and Bobby Witt Jr. to have over 1.5 total bases, and I'm going with Kevin Durant for more than 28 points and Nikola Jokic with more than 10 rebounds. Download the app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, if you download the app today and put in the code CLNS, they will match your first deposit up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. All right. Okay, so let's get into Diana Rossini a bit, and then we'll talk about what we want them to do at three, what we think we'll do at three, and then – or maybe, I don't know. It doesn't matter. In some order, we'll get through that. So let's do Diana Rossini first. Diana Rossini, of course, today, for anyone that missed it. Do you have the tweet in front of you, Matt, or do you want me to read it?
If you have it. I don't have it in front of me right now.
Yeah, no, I can get it very easily.
Hold on. Whoever gets to it first.
Oh, here we go. It's a race.
It's a little race. Yeah, this is riveting content right here for everyone, I'm sure. Yes, I got it. Diana Rossini this afternoon tweeted, New England Patriots are listening and taking calls from teams looking to move into three. While Elliot Wolf is running point, I'm told Patriots president Jonathan Kraft is heavily involved in the decision making.
Oh my God. I mean, what the hell, dude? That's like the last thing you want to hear. Like the very last thing you want to hear. It's freaking Jonathan Kraft being in it. This is not, no. You're the owner. Shut up and sit in the corner. Like, stop it.
And here's the thing. It's going to be the pick that starts off, you know, this next era. The owner is going to be involved. I have no issue with the owner being involved. So when you throw that heavily in there, to me, implies some actual say on the decision making. Like, if it's involved, if Jonathan Kraft is involved, involved might mean that he is just, like, listening on the phone conversations when trade offers comes in and just like, you know, making sure he knows what's going on in the process. Right. Heavily involved is like getting involved. And honestly, to me, the biggest concern here with this, it does seem like the impetus, like it seems like the Crafts want to win now. Like they want to win as soon as possible. Which side note, before I go forward on this, we didn't talk about it on the last episode, but the other thing that came out in that report about Bill Belichick was that Robert Kraft wanted him gone after 2022, and Jonathan was the one that talked him into having him stay, which I think, you know, we're talking, what, 8-9, one game out of the playoffs. Obviously, there's a lot of context around how that happened that leads you to a point where the owner wants you out. But it also, you know, the goal here is to be in the playoffs every year. The standards are very high from this ownership. And my concern is that if they're at three, and they like the quarterback, that quarterback goes at two, and they don't like the quarterbacks on the board, and they got an offer from Minnesota with a boatload of first-round picks. If ownership is saying, hey, we need a quarterback, you know? We need a quarterback. You know, in that meeting, we need a quarterback.
Right.
They're not telling you you can't take the trade, but saying, we need a quarterback. Then what was the point? What is the point of having Elliot Wolf if you're not actually going to let him do what he wants to do?
Right. Right. And that's the biggest concern, right? And I don't know how they feel. My gut is telling me that they actually prefer Jaden Daniels to Drake May. But I do think that here's the thing. I think that they like both guys. The issue is you need to have patience. With a guy like Drake May, I think you need to have some patience. And so, you know, the hard part for me is this. If Minnesota or the Giants, because supposedly the Giants are in on this too. If the Giants or Minnesota gets extra aggressive and is willing to make a crazy trade, do the Kraft say, no, we need a quarterback? Because if they do, now you're sitting there saying, well, yes, sure. We need a quarterback. Fine. But, like, we have a guy that we think can be good, but we don't know for sure. But this team is mortgaging their future to come up and get this guy. Now, especially if it's the Giants. You're at six now with the Giants. And the Giants are willing to trade you six and just – let's just say it's six and their second-round pick and their first next year. That's a pretty big haul. And maybe it's an extra – you throw an extra pick in there as well, right? You're moving back three spots. Now you're not getting the quarterback anymore. But what you're guaranteeing yourself at six is one of three guys. J.J. McCarthy, if you like him. If you like him, J.J. McCarthy, Joe Walt, or Marvin Harrison Jr. One of those three guys has to be available at six, right?
I'll add other guys too, you know, if they like Brock Bowers, if they like Odunze or Neighbors as the receiver, if they like, you know, let's say Joe comes off the board in there somewhere, if they like Olu Fashanu or somebody else involved in the tackle room, you know, you get, depending on how this goes, either the second or the third best offensive player on your big board.
Yep.
And you can just take there.
And there's also a possibility, if I'm the Patriots and you move three, and then let's just say that four sits there. The problem is that LA, I think, wants to move out. LA wants to move out. They want to draft an offensive lineman. They could draft Joe Alt at five, but that's rich. And so I think, I wonder if the Vikings would then try to move up to five. Because I'm thinking if you're at six and you don't love what's sitting there, you could now take six and trade that back to Minnesota. And now you're at 11 and 23 and you pick up an extra first. Now you're talking about three first round picks next year. The problem is that, like, do you need all those? Like, then it becomes like, all right, we're just stockpiling picks. So you got to take someone at some point. Right. And so it's like,
and it's a lot of that is also going to be based on, you know, how their board looks. How many players do they have graded highly? If they have a whole bunch of tackles that they really like, and they know, you know, whether you're at 6 or 11, you're taking one of these tackles you really like, then sure, go for it. If you think you're just taking best player available and you think it's a big drop from 6 to 11, it's going to take you a lot to move off that spot, I think. I think there's a lot of trades on the table, and I think I don't like the idea of ownership meddling in that whatsoever. I'll also say, this is from Andrew Callahan earlier today, who laid this out really nicely. Robert Kraft on January 17th said that Jonathan Kraft is not involved in the day-to-day operations. He also said on January 17th that ownership's input will be the same input that we've had the last three decades. Elliot Wolf said on February 27th that ultimately football decision-making is down to he and Gerard Mayo. Gerard Mayo, March 25th, they as an ownership don't want to be involved in football decisions.
Right.
Either none of that is true, or the heavy involvement that was talked about there somehow doesn't include any kind of decision making and is just, you know, Jonathan Kraft is in on every single phone call that's being made.
Right. Right. Which is true. And that's, so it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what happens, you know, and what they decide to do. And again, I just think if you're the Patriots and you don't look, let's just say Jaden Daniels, let's say they're all in on Jaden Daniels and he goes two and you're sitting there at three and you don't love Drake May. Now, again, I'm on record, and we're going to talk about this in a minute. I'm on record as that's the guy I want at three. But if they're not sold on him and someone else is, then you move out. And, you know, a report came out today or yesterday that the Patriots were thinking about moving back and taking Michael Penix. And maybe they do that. Maybe they stick with that and do that. I don't know. Right. But again, it becomes a situation where you look at it and you say, okay, yeah, sure. Maybe that's what they decide to do. But, you know, I'm not sure if that's really where they want to go with it. Right. And maybe, again, the issue that I have, we say he's heavily involved. What does that mean? So, first of all, who's making that initial report saying that the Krafts aren't involved, that the Krafts, is that coming from the Krafts, right? And it, maybe that's coming from the Krafts, and they're saying, no, we're not involved. And then someone else is saying, well, yes, but yeah, they're pretty involved, right? And Robert and Jonathan are basically telling us, you got to draft a quarterback at three, because you can't win without a quarterback. And that's true. You can't win without a quarterback. I agree wholeheartedly with that. Though I think the Niners have done a pretty good job of doing it, and the Eagles won a Super Bowl without a really good quarterback, and whatever. We can go down the list. But, like, realistically, to have a realistic shot, you need a good quarterback. I get that. But you also got to trust your evaluators and know that they know what they're doing. And if they're not high on Drake May and they think that he doesn't have the potential to be that guy, then you can't draft him. Right, regardless of how I feel about him, the hell do I know? Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's the issue that I have.
Well, there's two different conversations going on here. Because there's the one conversation that's the process conversation, which is internally, how are you arriving at your decision?
Right.
And then there's the second conversation, which is that decision a good decision? This is all on the process side. And I don't like it when ownership is meddling in things. So I hope that it's not. You know, I would guess from the context of this tweet, it was made in the context of trades. I'm guessing this report came from outside the building, probably from another team. And I'm going to guess that's because when they've been having trade discussions, Jonathan Kraft has been involved in that in some capacity. And
yep,
we don't know what that is. You know, and it's, I will say, if it's one thing, if Jonathan Kraft is using his leverage as part of ownership in negotiating talks for trade packages, you know, that is fine to me, because that's more of the business side of things to an extent. And I think using his expertise in negotiating there, or at least his background in that, should help. If it's every time we want to talk to somebody in New England's front office, we're being redirected to Jonathan Kraft's office, that I think is a lot more concerning. And obviously, you know, there's no way to know. But I also think, you know, some reports, some leaks this time of year, I look at it and I'm like, all right, well, that's obviously motivated by something. That report's out there for a reason, or somebody wants this piece of information public. Nobody wants this information public, which tells me it's probably true. You know, the Krafts don't want this out there after they spent the last couple of months talking about how they're not going to be involved. And you know, Mayo and Wolf don't want this out there.
That's correct. Yeah.
So nobody inside the building wants this out there, and it's out there, which tells me I think the reporting is very likely to be accurate on this. Also, I want to add one other thing here, which is that we've heard, I think, rumors about Elliot Wolf kind of almost having the job, like, in a, not in an interim basis, but like he is the GM right now, and then they're going to almost reevaluate later this summer or something, or later in the spring. Like, there's been discussions about that. I know, I don't know how much is hard and fast. And the other thing you worry about here is that even if ownership isn't really trying to meddle in the process that much, Elliot Wolf is sitting there saying, well, I might have to, you know, re-interview for this position in a couple of months. And I know from what the owners have said publicly that they want a quarterback. I'm going to let that impact my decision-making because I want to make sure I actually get to keep this job. That's also an issue that you can't, you really can't have. You know, you're paying these guys, what, hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions. I don't know how much these guys actually make to make these decisions. Let them make the decisions. If they fail, let them fail on their own merits.
Yeah. I agree with you. And yeah, realistically, I mean, this is, I feel the same way. Like, allow him to make the decision, right? Like, you're giving him this opportunity. And you're using this essentially as one extended interview, right? And so, like, instead of, I don't know, instead of letting him interview, I would just step in and do it for him. That's silly. So there were a few questions, though. Brian Hammond says 11-23 next year's first, and Christian Darrisaw for three. I think you almost have to take that, right?
Yes. Like, yes,
I think you almost have to take it.
Because if you get that, that means you've fixed your left tackle.
Yes.
And you have all those extra firsts. I mean, that means at 11, if you want, you can take, like, Brian Thomas Jr. You can reach on him a little if you want a receiver. Or
Brock Bowers. Like,
if he is there.
You know.
Or, you know, you can take a defender there. Like, depending on how this board falls.
Yeah.
If that means you get the opportunity to take the first or second defender on your board at 11, and you can still use 23 for a receiver who might end up being there anyway. And you get two firsts next year. Yeah, I think that is incredibly hard to pass up.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. And TD mentions here that Minnesota might be super motivated, may include Jefferson and two number ones. If Justin Jefferson's in there, you just smash the accept button. Smash.
Yeah, I don't
smash the accept button.
I don't think there's a world in which Justin Jefferson gets traded here, because part of this is that one of the reasons Minnesota wants the rookie quarterback is because they're about to pay Justin Jefferson. They're going to give Justin Jefferson all this money, and they want a cheap quarterback to offset that. So trading the expensive asset you want to keep to get the cheap asset, that doesn't make sense. They're not going to do it. I think Addison and Justin Jefferson are off the table. I think Darrisaw is also probably off the table. I think if you're getting Darrisaw, you might not get 23 in the trade. It might be a one or the other kind of thing, because if they don't get there, if they got to give up Darrisaw, they're going to want a first rounder this year so that they can still get a tackle.
Right. But the Darrisaw thing, though, is that they haven't given him the 5th-year extension just yet. They still haven't. Now they have until May 2nd technically to decide, but they haven't given him that 5th-year option yet. And, you know, he's going to be expensive. after this year, right? And so he's essentially on an expiring contract. Now, that doesn't mean they're not going to sign him. But, you know, I don't know if they're willing to give him a big-time contract extension, whereas the Patriots might. And maybe they won't. Maybe the Patriots are saying, we're not going to pay him a ton of money either, so we don't want him. But, you know, I don't know.
But even then, I think they're still – I think if Darrisaw is included, it's probably going to be, you know, 11 first next year, a second this – they don't have a second this year. A third this year, a second next year in Darrisaw type of thing.
Right.
I think that's probably what you're looking at instead of 23, just because there's no way Minnesota's going to want to give that and Darrisaw. Because Darrisaw himself is probably worth a first rounder on his own. So that's going to be tough.
Yeah. Theoretically. And that's the thing is that, you know, but it just depends on what they think. So we'll see, you know, and TJ Daniel mentions, you know, 11, 23 and Jefferson for 3 and 34, which again, I can't imagine a world where they trade Justin Jefferson. I just don't, it doesn't make any sense to me. And I think you're following like Carolina did this last year, where Carolina traded DJ Moore, their best receiver, to move up to number one. And then they were like, well, you know what? We could really use midway through the season. They were like, we could really use a number one receiver. And it's like, yeah, you just traded him, you dummy. And so like, and now Minnesota has Jordan Addison, who's very good, but like, he's not Justin Jefferson. And so it's like the whole point is that you have Jefferson and Jordan Addison, right? Yeah. And so Brian mentions that the Vikings don't even have a number two next year. So that's the thing is like, it becomes difficult. I can't imagine they're ever going to move on from Jefferson, but I can see them doing it with Darrisaw. And I can see the Patriots saying, look, if you want Drake May that bad, you're going to trade us 11 and 23 and Christian Darrisaw and your first round pick next year. And you know what? If you don't want to do that, we're going to draft Drake May instead.
Right? Well, I guess,
you know,
this becomes the question. If there's 2 minutes left on that draft clock, and the Vikings are saying, we're not going to budge. We're not giving up a player. It's 11-23 in a future first. You know, that's the basis of this deal, or a trade's not happening. The Patriots are on the board, and they don't like the quarterback. What do you do? Because then you can accidentally – like, this is where the art of negotiating is big, because you can also accidentally box yourself into a situation where you just got to take, you know, Marvin Harrison at three, which is a fine consolation prize. You know, I wouldn't be upset with that, but – the other part of this is that, like, you're going to see a player involved in one of these trades, it's going to be negotiated before draft night, because including that in draft night is just a lot trickier to do. So I would assume if it's, you know, 5 p.m. on Thursday and no deal has been made, and there's no rumors about a deal being made that involves a player from Minnesota, like coming from Minnesota people or coming from Adam Schefter or whatever, assume any deal is going to be just picks. And I would assume that for the Giants. I would assume that for the Raiders. They're trying to come up. If somehow the Broncos decide they want to get involved in this, you know, whoever it is that's coming up, I think it's wise to assume it'll just be picks involved.
So you're right, but I do think that I'm pretty sure A.J. Brown was traded on draft night. I'm almost positive
but I believe
that was a trade that was made on draft night.
It was, but that was like a straight pick for player thing. This is more of a bidding war situation for a pick. I don't think teams are going to be itching to throw in players to go get the pick. I think they're just going to keep adding on draft capital until somebody hits that's the fair. Magic number.
And no,
the
Patriots and that's say fair. Yes. That is fair. So, and again, I think that you're right. So the Patriots, if that conversation is ongoing, that could be a situation where they say, we're not.
Well, the flip side, the A.J. Brown thing is because they knew they weren't going to extend him and they were trying to move him. If for whatever reason the Vikings say, we know we can't get a deal done with Justin Jefferson and we're trying to move him, then he's available here. I think you would hear some kind of rumors about that before draft night.
Yeah. No, and that might be true. And so we'll see. I think it's really interesting. And allegedly, right, and people in the comments, multiple people in the comments are saying that there's a bidding war going on right now. And if that's the case, I think – I like Drake May a lot. I think Drake May can be a really good starting quarterback in the NFL, even an elite starting quarterback in the NFL. I don't know if he'll ever get there. If you're getting an insane package, I think you have to take it. And that's the situation. That's the thing that I look at and say, Will the Crafts say okay to that? We're not getting the quarterback, but it's okay that we're not getting the quarterback because we're getting this huge package and we can build the rest of the offense. And if, listen, if you want to take Michael Penix at 23 or 34, fine. If that's what you want, we'll do it. But like, we're getting all of this future draft capital and we're going to try to use that to, you know, to make ourselves better. And in turn, create a better situation for our starting quarterback. Look at Chicago. And Chicago was a situation where, you know, Chicago is a really good situation for the number one pick. A really good situation for Caleb Williams. And that's because they had the number one pick. They moved down last year. They acquired a pick from a bad team. And I don't think Minnesota's a bad team. But, you know, I don't know. But they acquired a pick from a bad team. And now they have the number one pick. And they acquired offensive talent last year. They traded for DJ Moore. Now they've traded for Keenan Allen. They signed or they drafted a solid tackle. And so if you can build that thing around them, you never know what's going to happen. Remember, Joe Burrow was projected to be a fifth-round pick before the year started. Yeah. He had a great year and just drafted number one overall. So it could happen. Quinn Ewers could take a big step forward this year. He could. Now, he may not. I don't think he's going to, but he might. And then you may be looking at saying, well, Quinn Ewers is a beast. And you know what I mean? So that's where I look at it and think like, okay, you know, there's a chance for the Patriots.
Well, and I think the other part of this is like, if you have a quarterback problem and you take a quarterback that you don't think is going to be very good, you still have a quarterback problem. You haven't done anything to address that problem.
Exactly.
You may have addressed your backup quarterback problem, sure, but you haven't addressed your starting quarterback problem. I think that's the core part of this is who they think actually can address that. And if we want to give like predictions on what's going to happen Thursday night, you know, I think they like some, but not all of the options available at quarterback. And if whoever we like is available at three, they're just going to take the guy.
Right.
And if whoever it is isn't, they're going to trade back big time. And they get a big deal for it. And I think it's just going to be, you know, I think we're going to find out on draft night which one of the guys it is they like based on who's available. And I kind of feel like they like May and they don't like Daniels at this point. That's kind of my guess, but I can't quite get a read on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and I'm interested with that. I don't know how they feel about J.J. McCarthy. I feel like they don't like Michael Penix. It's just a feeling that I get. They really didn't talk to him much. They did have him once, like, but they've shown very little to no interest in Michael Penix. They have the number three overall pick. He's not going third. No. So, like, you know, that's it's one of those things. And TD is saying that, you know, if Penix didn't have the two ACLs, he'd be number one. And he would not be because Caleb Williams is the clear number one pick. He might be number two, maybe. But Jaden Daniels gives you something that other guys don't have, which is that real speed and wiggle that other guys don't.
Yes.
And so I can see a team liking him over Penix, regardless of the injury situation. And again, we can say if Penix didn't have the two ACLs, but he does. Like, that's a big deal. You know what I mean? Like,
beyond that, even if he didn't have the injury, so he's still a quarterback with okay accuracy, who was a little bit slow as a decision maker last year, isn't great in creating in crowded pockets, who was in an offense with elite talent and elite coaching last year and elite offensive line. Like, they were fantastic. So in some ways, I'm almost less worried about the fact that Penix was injured, more worried about the fact that he's been in college for this long. He's played a lot of football, and he still is, you know, slower than you'd like as a decision maker, still not super accurate. Like, all the traits I listed, like, he's experienced and he's worse at those things than a guy like Drake May, who is less experienced and better at those things. Like, Drake May has accuracy issues, and he's more accurate, I think, than Michael Penix, at least if you go by like Ben Solak's charting of that. And it's like, all right, like, if you're not taking a quarterback at three, I just don't think you take a quarterback in this draft, honestly.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I kind of feel the same way. And
if you're a quarterback, take them. If you don't, then just invest in everything else.
Right, Right. And we'll see. And again, if Spencer Rattler drops to you and you want to take a flyer on him, sure. If you trade back and you get 11 and 23 and, you know, okay, you're at 34 and you're like, yeah, we don't love anyone at 34. We've already gotten two guys that we like, you know, tackle at 11 and in 23, you know, we take a whatever, take a, you know, a wide receiver, let's say. Okay. Now you do, you know, you trade out of 34, move back a few spots, pick up an, you know, a day three pick, let's say, and you draft Spencer Rattler in the 40s or something, right? So, and again, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I'm just saying, like, that's an example of something I think I could see happening, where it's like, hey, we don't love Spencer Rattler, but we at least take a chance on him, right? And so
Spencer Rattler in the 40s, you're going to be, you might not see me Friday night.
I know. But, you know, but I think that that's a situation where we can look at it and say, hey, there's a path here to a quarterback if you like him. If you don't, then don't draft him. But, like, if you like this guy, hey, we can take him here. But, again, Rattler to me is a guy that's a dart throw. It's a dart throw. And, you know, it's – look, I just, you know – I get it, but he's a dart throw.
The issue for me with Rattler is like all the size concerns with the all the size concerns with a guy like JJ McCarthy apply to Rattler. Like, he's not that big, and he's like beat up, a guy who just has so many issues with his profile. And it's like, and he's older. It's just, you know, I don't understand. Like, if you got to pick one of them, I would take McCarthy. If you have to pick like one or the other, yeah, McCarthy's going to be more expensive. I'd rather invest in that. You know, this is, we're looking at a spot. Like, I don't know if this were racing, you know, you need a car that can hit a certain mile per hour. Right. Otherwise you don't have a chance in the race. And we're arguing about a car that's 50 miles per hour versus 70 miles per hour. It's like, all right, like that's, If we're gonna invest in one of these, yeah, it's more expensive to go get a car that goes 200 miles per hour, but that's what you need. So spend it. And if the car isn't that good, then you're gonna invest later. But
right,
yeah, I know. I'm lower on this QB class than a lot of other people are, but I watch a lot of these guys, and there's a lot of guys who have been in college for a long time for a reason, and I just, that scares me.
yeah. So I mean, we'll see.
Yeah,
you know, That's the scary part. And again, I think Drake May, young player, he's young. He can learn. Sit him on the bench. So here's what would happen, right? And I guess let's just get into it because we're running kind of late here. But here's what I'll just say. If it were me, if I were sitting there at three, assuming that Jaden Daniels goes number two, or forget about it, I think I'm taking Drake May at three. And I'm probably taking Jaden Daniels at three. However, it's going to take less for me to move out of three if it's Jaden Daniels. Right? But I think either way, if Minnesota gives a crazy offer, I'm moving. Regardless of who's there at three, if Minnesota makes a wild offer, I'm taking it. Because I think that both of these guys – okay, both of these guys are projections. I'm not 100% sold that they're going to end up being the guy, right? And so, you know, if you have an opportunity to get a ridiculous package, you take it, in my opinion. I don't know if the Patriots feel the same way. I kind of feel that they're taking the quarterback at three. Kind of no matter what. There's smoke that they're listening to offers, and so they might take a crazy offer. I think that they're trying to get that offer as high as they can possibly get it. My fear is that they're going to take May at three, and that Minnesota, who's wanted J.J. McCarthy all along, is going to give some insane package to Arizona. And I'm going to sit there, and I'm going to say, we turn down that package. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm scared about, is that, you know, they're going to give some crazy package and I'm going to sit there saying, oh my God, this is going to be bad. Yeah. And so we'll see. But that's the thing for me, is that I think, You know, and we may never know because, you know, it might get leaked out after the fact. Like Sashi Brown leaks out that they offered, you know, the number 10 overall pick for Jimmy Garoppolo, which is like, shut up. No, you didn't, Sashi Brown. Like, stop it. But, you know, that's the problem. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Yeah. But that's what I think is going to happen and what I would do, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. I think in some ways the ideal here, if you don't find the quarterback, is trading back to 6. If you can trade back to 6, get a future first as part of it, and get one of these top tier receivers. If Drake May is not on the table, I think that's your best. That's my favorite of the backup plans, because if you had Romo Dunze to this team, even with the other issues that they have, you take a tackle at 34. I think you have a chance to be a really, really, really good team outside of the quarterback position, and then it's just finding that, which is obviously easier said than done. But if you don't think you're finding it at 3, then don't force it.
Right. I like it. Yeah. And what do you think they will do?
I think it's going to be one guy they like. If he's there, they take him. If not, trade out type of situation.
Okay.
I have no idea who that is.
Well, and that's the thing. And so, allegedly, what people have said, is that about 12 hours out is when you hear what teams are really thinking. Thursday
By
morning.
By people, you mean Bill Belichick.
That's a great point. Bill Belichick can say that. But Thursday morning, I do think that that we'll find out kind of, you know, what Washington is thinking. And I think that's going to really decide what the Patriots do. If it comes out that Washington's taking Daniels and the Patriots are higher on Daniels, then they move out. And the other thing is true as well. So, you know, so we'll see. But never know. But by the way, I just wanted to point it out here. Carlos.
Carlos talks Pats in here.
Carlos. I just wanted to give him a shout out. He's killing it on Twitter. So, you know, and he's like, always the first to report things, just crushing it over there on Twitter. So nice work, Carlos. Keep it up.
Shout out to the fact that when Carlos like pulls video clips and stuff too, he like generally provides full context. He very rarely, if ever, like, you know, will put things out of context or, you know, try to go for the clickbait. He just has real content. So
yeah,
is a good, must follow.
Yep. I agree. So Los Talks Pats, if you're on Twitter or X, whatever the
hell. Yes.
But yeah. Do you want to get? Let's get into the listener mocks, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, we got just two to wrap this up. We'll start with one sent to us from a ways away. This is from Turkey. We got from Turkey. Pats fans in Turkey represent. From Kagan. I'm not entirely sure how you say it. This mock draft has Patriots trading back, taking Troy Folatinu at 15. Ladd McConkey at 34, Xavier Leggett at 46, Michael Penix at 68, Jalix Hunt at 103, Jared Wiley at 137, Christian Boyd at 180, Hunter Norzad at 193, and Ryan Watts at 231. And you get a 2025 first from the Colts in this one. I'm not sure why the Colts are moving up to 3, but maybe they want Marvin Harrison Jr. They want the other Marvin in the building.
Hey, I mean, it might be worth it for them. He said that they traded 15, 46, and their 2025 first-round pick, which, of course, gives them the double dip at wide receiver. So this is a situation where I love this draft. This is where I'd be okay with Michael Penix. Like in the third round? Are you kidding me? I'd be happy with that. I don't think he's going to last the third round, but I think there's a chance that he slides because let's be honest. Last year, do you remember last year when, you know, there was talk about Will Levis going number one overall and then he gets taken in the second round? And so that's one of those interesting things for me that like, Penix is kind of feels that way where it's like you look at Penix and you just think like he just got so much injury problems and I don't know how much people – now listen, I think he's a great leader. I think he can absolutely sling it. But, you know, I'm not sure. But we'll see.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I love the idea of taking the left tackle and then double dipping at wide receiver. Will Leggett draft at 46? I'm not sure if he'll drop all the way to 46. Will Ladd McConkey be at 34? I think he probably will be. But like, you draft two wide receivers, you draft a tight end, you draft two defensive linemen, and an offensive lineman and a safety, and obviously a quarterback. And like, that to me is like, I look at that and I'm like, that's it, dude. Like, you've gone a lot, I think, to helping and improving your offense. Now, again, can Rattler play? I don't know. You know, can either of these wide receivers really kind of step up and be the guy? I'm not sure. I like that idea. But by the way, Joe Milton's getting drafted in like the sixth round. There's no way Joe Milton's going to the 60. Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's that crazy for Penix or Nix or whoever to be here at 68, because part of it is that, you know, once everybody has picked once, you know, that's usually where the top quarterbacks go.
Right.
If these guys make it out of the first round, which I think they will, you can kind of go anywhere. Guys can really start to slide once you hit day two, because it's like, you know, who are the QB needy teams who might be taking a chance on these guys? Like, I think the Rams are a possibility there. I think maybe the Browns are a possibility there.
Yep. Browns, you know, first maybe pick is 54 or something like that too. So
yeah, maybe the Vikings, if they don't get somebody, you know, if they get, but they don't even have a second round pick. You know, that's the spot where it's like, all right, you're kind of drafting a backup, or you don't love your starter. Like, it's a weird spot to be drafting a quarterback. The guys fall. And you also need a guy to be a scheme fit. And you also need a front office to like a guy. You need a front office to like a guy. Not enough to take him in the first, and not enough to think he has a high chance of being a starter, but still enough to want to take him in the second round. Like, that's a very, very thin line to walk.
Right.
So, and especially with Penix's injury history, like, he's a dog. Like, he is, I don't have any questions about his intangibles. It's just, you know, can his processing speed get faster? Can he get more accurate with the football? Yeah. And if he gets taken at the end of the first round, it wouldn't shock me. If he's on the board when the Patriots pick in the third, it really wouldn't shock me.
Yeah.
I just want to say Jared Wiley and Christian Boyd on day three in this draft. Love, love, love that.
Yeah, I agree.
Two good picks.
Two things I wanted to point out. First of all, Mario Yoshi with the take of the offseason right here. Where is it? There it is right here. I'm hoping the Patriots pick good players for this year. And listen, I'm going to be completely honest with you, Mario. I'm not joking at all. Like, that's the take, right? Like,
that's what we need. We've
gone through a billion, you know, things, and who are they going to take? Ultimately, it doesn't matter who they draft and where they draft them. It just matters if they're good, right? And it's like, okay, great, take a quarterback. He better be good. Great, take a wide receiver. He better be good. Great, take a left tackle. He better be good. Like, it doesn't matter what they do as long as the guys are good. And we won't know that they're good for a few years. But, like, but that's one of the things. And also
From your keyboard to Elliot Wolf's ears.
Please. That's right. That's right, baby. And DJ Daniel just, you know, mentioned that, you know, Drake May has never faced any adversity. And fine. That's fine. I will say that, and someone pointed this out earlier today, and I don't remember who it was, and I might have been Jesus Christ, Coach Williams, I think, on Twitter, who's really good, and I like him, and he doesn't like Drake May, but not that he doesn't like Drake May, he doesn't like Drake May as much as some people do, which is fine, but he pointed out, which I thought was true, Drake May was the consensus number two for the last year, he was the consensus number two last year. And he's still the consensus number two. And it seems like he's been passed by Jaden Daniels. And he hasn't pouted about that. And he hasn't complained about that. And he hasn't, and he's dealt with that with grace. And he's talked about Jaden Daniels, and he's talked about JJ McCarthy. And he's talked. And I think that, you know, it shows a little bit from him. Now, again, does that mean that he's going to, I don't know. But, you know, it is what it is. And yes, TD, you're right. That what's his face, Merrill Hodge, called him a coach killer. Any quarterback that's a bust is a coach killer.
Yeah, I'll also say, Drake May faced adversity. Look at the roster around him.
The roster is garbage.
It's the coaching. Like, he and Caleb Williams both just faced adversity internally from having to play on teams that weren't really that good against teams that were better. and having to make that work. You know, the fact that Caleb Williams and Drake May got their teams to even respectable at points this season is a testament to their ability and their ability to face adversity.
Agreed. All right, let's get into this. Let's get into this last mock and get the people out of here.
Yeah, this is from Tom. Jaden Daniels at 3, which he did explain in his message to me that this would be Daniels or May. He was hoping it was May, but he would take either one. Mm-hmm. A trade back, Leggett at 47, Ben Sinnott at 68, Karana Magaji at 70, Cam Hart at 103. That's the pulpy guy right there.
Javon
Baker at 137, Dylan Lauby, shout out to the UNH kid at 180, and Christian Boyd at 193. I think Boyd's going to go like fourth, fifth round.
I can't imagine Javon Baker being there at 137 either, but I mean, I guess it could happen, but Jesus Christ, if he is, you sprint.
Yeah.
You run faster than him.
Yeah. And I will say we went back and forth a little bit. One of the things I liked about this, I'm not as high on Zay Trilegette as other people. I think he's kind of going to end up being a big slot, like matchup guy, who you kind of have to scheme plays for. If you draft Javon Baker, Baker can go play outside. Leggett can be your slot matchup guy, and I think that puts him in a position to succeed. So I like the thinking there of pairing those two guys together.
Yeah. No, it's a good point. I like that. And look, I mean, yeah. I just, for me, I think that it's a solid trade. It's a solid draft. Look, any draft with Ben Sinnott, you know I'm going to love. Any draft with Ben Sinnott and Dylan Lauby, come on. Like, let's get serious. And, you know, Cam Hart and Christian Boyd, again, like, I like the idea a lot. Again, I would prefer Drake May over Jaden Daniels, but as he said, I do think that the Patriots are going to take the quarterback there. And so, you know, if that's the case, then that means that whether it's Jaden Daniels or Drake May, they're taking the quarterback. So we'll see. By the way, I really don't want to have to do this again. But somebody was talking about, maybe it's not going to have what I have here, what I heard at least. But I had heard about, and I've talked about the wins above average before. Right. And so we talked about, you know, as far as the people around you, and the wins above average around Drake May is just pitiful, just absolutely pitiful. And that's the situation for me, is that when you look at the advanced metrics, right. And I'm not going to get into all the numbers, but basically what it says is that the wins above average essentially said that you could essentially take out the entire UNC offense and replace it with literally average players from college football, and it would have been the same offense, minus Drake May. And so, you know, and whereas every other quarterback that's being talked about in the first round had, you know, anywhere from 5 to 2.5 points. And so again, it's not crazy, but for me, that's one of those things that I look at and just think like, okay, this is the situation that we're in. Like, he's not getting any help.
Yeah.
And that's not up for debate. He's not getting any help. Now, does that mean he's going to be a great quarterback in the NFL? No, but to me that, you know, that's not up for debate.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right. I think
we've said a lot of words about quarterbacks this offseason. I'm glad to finally get to apply it to something real.
I know. And listen, you know, and let's be honest, right? I don't think this team's going to be very good next year, right? It's not like I'm sitting here telling you that this team's going to be, you know, a 10-win team and they're going to compete for – I don't think that's going to matter, right? But, you know, this is the best time of year. It's the best time of year. It's the best time of year. And TD, we appreciate it. You guys are great. Even if we disagree, I agree. You guys are great. Like, this is what makes it, right? The chat blowing up and you guys being on the chat is what makes it so much more fun, because we're able to have this conversation with you. And so we're not just up here screaming into the void, which we are a little bit. But yeah, it's nice to have people responding to us. And again, to be able to have a conversation with you guys, because I find that even when we disagree, that you guys bring different perspectives and a lot of times smart perspectives. You guys aren't dumb. You're not, you're throwing things out, right? And so I think that, you know, there's a lot of good things that come through. And even if we disagree with it, I think that we can see the logic behind it. And so, you know, so we'll see.
Yeah. But I do want to, I want to wrap up here because there was a comment in here that reminded me of something I had wanted to bring up on here.
Yes.
Because somebody mentioned that Patriots fans are going to be calculating strength of schedule by week 10. We can do this right now. Warren Sharp put out his thing. It's hardest. It's strength of schedule by betting odds right now. You know, pre-draft, who has the hardest schedules? Patriots have the second hardest schedule in the NFL next season.
Well, that's not good. That's not good for, for draft purposes.
Well, it means they're going to lose a lot, probably.
That is true. That is true.
Yes. But no, I thought that was interesting because this is something I kind of picked up on at the end of last season was that, you know, if you had to say who the worst team in the AFC West is going to be next year, I think most people would probably say the Raiders. Well, the team that finished last was the Chargers. Why? Right. Because Herbert got hurt and everything fell apart at the end. So that's who the Patriots play. If you had to say who the worst team in the AFC North is, probably say the Steelers, if you had to guess. Maybe the Browns. Patriots are playing the Bengals because Joe Burrow got hurt.
That's tough.
Last year.
That's tough.
The worst team in the NFC North, and we'd all say it's the Bears, but that's the team that got has two top 10 picks and is adding the number one draft pick in Caleb Williams. That's who you got to play there. And you also, you know, part of this is that, you know, the Patriots got to play three good teams in the AFC East. Every team in the AFC East gets two games against New England. So all of those strength of schedules are going to go down for them.
For
a team playing a last place schedule, I think they did get a rough draw, at least according to how things look at the moment.
I would agree.
And I don't expect those odds to shift too drastically between now and week one.
It's certainly not week one. Now, by the end of the year, of course, no one knows what's going to happen, but but you're right. So
things will change in season, but the only thing moving those odds is going to be, you know, quarterbacks being taken in the draft. And that's just going to be, you know, Minnesota or Vegas or, you know, if somebody does make a move up.
Right. So as a reminder, before we go, as a reminder, we are going to be live all night Thursday night, all night, literally all night. We'll be live from before the draft starts until the first round is completely over. We're going to have a ton of guests stopping in. Again, we're not going to be on the Patriots on the CLNS YouTube channel. So if you're not already subscribed, go over to Pats Nation Network. Okay. It's got the PNN logo. I'm sorry. You can see it at the very top of the screen here above Matt and I. Pats Nation Network on YouTube. We're streaming live on there right now as well. So if you're not already subscribed to there, you can jump over there, subscribe to there right now. That's where we're going to be broadcasting on Thursday. We'll also be broadcasting on my Twitter page and Matt's Twitter page. We thought about going back to Twitch, but I was like, there's not enough people watch. Everyone, I think, is now on YouTube and not Twitch. And so I figured we'll just have it doing on both YouTubes. But during the show, we're giving away this hat right here. This is the official draft cap of the Patriots. Look how cool that is. I really like the red and the red on top and the blue underneath. And then, of course, it has this sick logo, which I was saying to my dad, they got to throw this on a t-shirt. Like I would 100% buy that on a t-shirt. So a Forever New England with the entire New England around there with the old Pat Patriot in front of it. We are auctioning that off. So all you have to do, come to the show, subscribe to the channel and comment on the YouTube, on the show, right? If you comment on the Twitter, obviously you comment on the Twitter, it's fine. But if you comment on the YouTube, be subscribed as well. And we're going to give that hat away to whomever it is. We're going to mail it out to you. It is a snapback hat. And so you don't have to worry about whether it's going to fit you or anything like that. So I got a snapback for everyone. And then we'll mail it. We're just going to pick a name at random and go from there. And again, as I said, sorry, Dad, he's not invited into that lottery. So he's winning too many things lately. And so that's not happening. So anyways, That's what we got. That's it. So we're going to see you guys Thursday night. Come through on Thursday. A ton of guests. We're going to have a ton of fun. We've done it again. I think I've been doing it since 2021, and I love it. And so it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun every year.
And if the Patriots, do something we don't like, you may get the privilege of watching us break mentally on air.
That's so correct.
Yeah. Coming to terms with So let's not do that. And let's hopefully we get a pair of Bruins Celtics wins in the interim between now and then.
Certainly nice, wouldn't it? That would certainly be nice. Yeah. So
yes.
All right. Well, thanks everyone. And we will we'll talk to you on Thursday night. We're finally there, people. We're finally there. So we'll talk to you on Thursday night. And and hey, we're here. It's gonna be great. And let's just hope they don't screw it up. I don't think they're gonna, but let's hope they don't. So, all right, guys, thanks again, and we'll talk to you Thursday.